This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Houthi militants in Yemen saying in a statement that 10 of their fighters were killed during an exchange of gunfire with U.S. forces in the Red Sea. U.S. ships had received a distress call from a commercial ship that was under attack. National Security Council Coordinator for Strategic Communication, John Kirby.
It's one of the most important, most vital commercial waterways in the world. And we have an obligation with our allies and partners to keep the flow of commerce moving there. The Houthis should stop these attacks.
Dozens of Russian drones targeted civilian and military targets in Ukraine overnight, said Ukraine. That's a day after Russia accused Ukraine of a deadly strike on a Russian border city. At least four people died, two others hospitalized after a house explosion near Detroit. Local police say they're still investigating what may have caused the blast. A snowy end to 2023 in Seoul, the South Korean capital, seeing its heaviest snowfall recorded for December in more than 40 years over this weekend. This is ABC News. With the first primaries approaching, some former Trump staffers are now speaking out against the former president's actions in office and his character and what it could mean if he once again gets into the White House. Former Trump administration director of strategic communications, Alyssa Farah, telling ABC's This Week.
He knows how to use government better this time. He can put in diehard loyalists who can weaponize every level of government against his detractors, against the American people, against the media. It's almost too scary to fully wrap your head around what it could look like.
Former Trump administration deputy press secretary Sarah Matthews on why we're not hearing more from people who worked for the Trump administration.
A lot of these people won't come forward, even if privately they'll acknowledge that Trump is unfit or will privately acknowledge that the 2020 election wasn't stolen. It's because they know that they will face death threats, that their families will face death threats.
I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new report finds smart toys pose all kinds of serious risks for families. Mike Moan reports.
The smart toy market is now a more than $16 billion industry and is expected to double by 2027. This holiday season, experts are warning parents to check the safety and privacy features of toys children receive. Teresa Murray with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group Education Fund says stuffed animals, baby dolls, racer tracks, and even board games may have features that allow them to record conversations and collect personal information and location data.
They have microphones or cameras, or they connect to an app, or they're Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth. They have geolocators, which is a whole thing. So parents really need to ask a lot of questions when it comes to these smart toys.
This year, the Federal Trade Commission and Department of Justice charged Amazon with violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act rule by deceiving parents and users of the Alexa voice assistant service about its data deletion practices. The company allegedly kept voice recordings of children and gathered geolocation data and used children's transcripts. Congress did pass tougher toy safety regulations in 2008, triggering a spike in recalled toys that suddenly didn't meet safety standards. Murray says that while the number of unsafe toys has gradually decreased, parents still should inspect their children's toys.
Especially if you're talking about a younger child. But inspect that toy and make sure that none of the parts have come loose. Nothing could come off that could endanger them or be a choking hazard.
And while toy-related deaths and injuries treated in emergency rooms among children 14 and younger have declined, Hospitals and doctors' offices around the country still see more than 150,000 toy-related injuries a year. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any snow and flurries winding down quickly here. We'll see partly sunny skies near 30 degrees on this New Year's Eve day with north winds. If you have plans tonight, count on cold temperatures, mid-teens, and mostly clear skies. Currently 26 degrees.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and we are powered by Everlight Solar. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to a new episode of the Cripescast. I am joined in the Cripescast studio by Colleen Maraca. What's going on, Colleen?
We move stuff around, so I'm getting used to the new layout. I feel like I'm like sitting here looking at you sideways, and I don't really like it.
Giving me the side eye.
Side eye. Unintentional. But yeah, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Had the Cripes Christmas party last night. That was fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah. We rented out the basement of North Avenue Market in Milwaukee.
Really great. Yeah.
Solid spot. They got a cool bar down there. We played Jenga. Big Jenga, drunk Jenga, whatever you want to call it.
It's giant Jenga.
Giant Jenga.
Yeah.
Jenga.
I've also played drunk Jenga. You were there for my Halloween party where I had that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where you pull it out and it has little things you're supposed to say, like your biggest fear in life or whatever.
Yeah, and then one of my favorite ones is like, if you don't do what the thing says, you have to take my friend's as a shot or like a sip of your drink or whatever. And my favorite one she wrote was, go home.
Had I pulled that, I'd been like,
darn, oh, gotta go. But yeah, so we had giant Jenga and we did Christmas and our holiday party, and it was really nice.
Yeah, it was a fun time. So folks, this week on the podcast, I've got basically a behind the scenes look for you. While we go on the road, we were in Eau Claire over the weekend. Adam Gruhl from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades and my collaborator on our new album, Dive Bar Dinner, was there. And we talk about the new album a bit, give you a little insight onto that. And then also Dante Williams is my producer over here at Cripes Inc. He is joining the podcast. And Bill Doucette, who you've seen from the Boston videos and a ton of other videos we've done, he is on there as well. So it's kind of an in and out of the green room. Bill's sort of in and out. He was helping out with merch. Dante was in and out. He was helping Bill out with helping merch. And then me and Adam were there consistently the whole time.
It's reminiscent of, Adam's been on the podcast before. So has Bill a couple different times. It's reminiscent of Cripescast Snowed In, where it's like a rotating mic.
Oh, yeah.
So this might be one that if you're listening right now, not on Spotify or on YouTube, maybe you want to watch because you might be confused a little bit if it's, or do you guys do a good job?
I don't think there's a whole lot of confusion in the voices, though.
Okay.
I mean, I think because Bill, I was thinking about that too, but they all have very different voices.
It was funny last night, like Dante was talking crap to Anya, like pulling a piece or whatever. And she goes, shut up, Charlie. So you and that's where I'm like, you and Dante might have a little bit of a...
Maybe me and Dante do sound similar.
In some ways. But I'm just saying like that would have been a fun way to like push the video podcast. But if you don't want to, like, that's fine.
Oh, I like how you're pushing the video podcast.
It's just like an idea.
That's very good producing skills on that, Colleen. That was really good.
Anyway, but yeah, so you guys had the shows in Eau Claire and then you have a little bit of a break.
Yeah, got a little break and then new tour dates next year coming up.
Yep.
So, if you're looking to get someone some for Christmas, just get some tickets or whatever.
By the time this comes out, it's probably too late for you to buy a gift that'll ship on time.
Yeah.
So what we recommend is just getting tickets to Charlie Baron's.
What we recommend. Yeah.
Nothing, 9 out of 10 doctors also agree.
Nothing says I love you like I just Googled this present. So.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
If you want to get those tickets, just check out KripesCast.com. Click on the tour section. And if you want to know what life is like backstage, here is my conversation with Dante Williams, Bill Doucette, and Adam Gruhl. Hey, folks, welcome to another edition of the KripesCast. Today, you are joining us in the green room in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We've got a couple shows this weekend at the Pablo Center, and I am joined this week by you're getting the behind-the-scenes look at what goes on tour. I've got, to my left, Bill Doucette. Billy Deuce, you've seen him in a lot of my videos. Our videos,
yep.
A lot of great collabs from the Robert De Niro to the Boston guy in Wisconsin.
Yep.
We'll get to more deeper questions on that in a second. But Bill, okay. Any first thoughts for the audience here?
No, not too much to say. We're here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Eau Claire, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Nice area.
It is a nice area.
Great green room here.
Yeah, it is. You're drinking yourself. We don't have Lineys up here somehow, but they stock the coolers with Coors Light.
Coors.
Which is in the Molson Coors family.
So, yes, yeah.
It's all good. Hmm. Anyway, I'll keep going around the horn here. We've got Adam Gruhl. Adam, you got a little stuff in your beard right there?
Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Tinsel.
A little tinsel in the beard.
Yeah.
That's all right. You got it taken care of. Adam Gruhl, ladies and gentlemen, from Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. He and I have a new album out called Dive Bar Dinner, which you can purchase on KripesCast.com. And it's a real humdinger. Adam, any further plug you want to give the album right off the top here, guys?
You know, I like it. I think it's nice music, Americana music, which is, you know, basically unsuccessful country music is what it is.
And,
but yeah, well, as far as what I'd like to say right now, I was walking through the streets. Eau Claire has music. Place like, and you kind of are looking around trying to figure out where it's coming from, and it's not particularly apparent.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dante Williams, he is a producer here at Cripes Inc. He is a tour manager, wears a lot of different hats and does a hell of a job. Dante, any further intro you want to give yourself?
I feel like it should have been longer.
Expecting
a longer intro for the amount of stuff I do for you.
Give the people just a sense of, you know, I think there are some people out there that actually think I do this all on my own. I correct the record anytime it's brought up, just so you know. But give the people a sense of what is involved in working for this place.
Well, it's a lot. You'll probably need a therapist eventually once you're a certain ways down the road.
Eventually?
Another one?
A second one to correct all the stuff the first one says to me.
Okay.
But no, Charlie doesn't do a lot of this by himself. We have a great team. There's four of us.
Well, there's more than that.
There's Dante. There's Colleen.
Dante, Anna, John, Molly, myself. So six total.
Six. Okay.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Math was never my
suit. Well, Bill.
Yeah. Well, I've always known we weren't totally part of the team in any way. Yeah.
What's that?
I never felt like I was really part of the team, and that's clarified it.
Yeah.
We're going strictly off.
Let's go to the bar.
The W2s. Yeah. You know what, guys? Don't go to the bar.
No, I saw. There's so many cool little dive bars I just noticed too in town. I'd like to stop at every one of them after hearing what you just said.
Oh my gosh. All right, let me
Merry
clarify.
Christmas, everybody.
Let me clarify. Cripes Inc. is the company under which there are six people working there. Bill is kind of his own entity doing his own social channels, and Adam is his own entity doing his own social channels. So, you know, but you guys are very much so part of this podcast. So, you know,
kind of stepkids.
Can I plug one of my channels real quick?
Yeah, Bill, go ahead. Plug your channel.
Check me out on OnlyFans, Billy Deuce 86. Got some cool stuff coming out this week.
Bill, and, do you actually have an OnlyFans?
There's only one way to find out.
There is.
Oh, it's not sexual. I'm really into fans, like the appliance.
That would be really funny if you made an OnlyFans and just took a bunch of fan pics.
Yeah.
It'd be very fitting because there's only one person on this earth that can get into a cold truck after a full night of sitting outside and unthaw the windows faster than the defrost.
Did he say unthaw? Right,
he did say unthaw. I said unthaw. Very accurate. Bill is a very big fan of fans as well. Like, I remember this one time Bill was staying in the duplex in the upstairs bedroom, and the air conditioning was turned down to 59 degrees, and there were two box fans that he didn't bother to turn any of this off, by the way. So after about a day, I went back in there and just saw that my electricity bill was going to be through the duplex roof.
Well, and you got solar panels on that roof, though, so
now
it's pretty much free.
Now I do have solar panels, but back then it was just the old-fashioned...
Wisconsin energy.
It's hard to be a hot guy, Bill.
It is.
You know, and we were in here earlier, and we were all in, like, our winter puffy coats. And, you know, we had literally just said,
Bill was visibly
we had literally just said it was super cold in the green room. And Billy walks in, he's like, God, it's hotter than here.
Yeah. Well, you know,
he gets offended when you tell him that it's cold in a place that he's sweating.
But it offsets my impact on climate change because I don't need to use heat at all. My heat's not been on yet at my apartment.
Really?
There might be a pipe. There might be a pipe issue down the road. But, you know, that's what plumbers are for. I don't own the place. They can't prove it was off. I'll turn it on before the landlord comes over.
Yeah. Well, now they can.
Adam, can we discuss our new album? That's a topic of conversation we want to get out there. For those of you who don't know, Adam Gruhl and I, we have a group called Barons and Gruhl. And we had one album come out in 2020 called Unthawed. This is our second album called Dive Bar Dinner. And what was that process like working with Charlie on that?
Well, you know, I feel like, you know, our idea, you know, when we became buddies and also wanted to do some work together, our idea was that you kind of teach me comedy stuff and I kind of teach you music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to see how that's developed through the years because, you know, working on Unthawed, the album from 2020, you know, you were just literally learning like cadence with vocals and I mean, like things like tempo, you know, and of course, you know, pitch slowly comes along too. So it was interesting.
Slowly is the key word.
For everybody though, you know, I mean, for, you know, me and Billy too, you know, Billy's a great, great musician and it didn't just come out of thin air, you know, you really had to grind through it to kind of get an understanding of it. So anyhow, I've seen, you know, this last album, Dive Bar Dinner, it was pretty easy, I'd say, you know, getting the vocals, like in a lot of ways it was fun, which is the place you want to get to. Like, you know, for me now doing a little bit of stand up, I'm finally getting to the place where I feel like excited to do it, not like terrified to walk on stage, you know? Yeah. And that's what you want, you know, that's what makes it fun. That's where the joy, you know, comes from.
And I'll say this, it's been really cool watching you develop your stand-up and actually Bill watching your stand-up develop over the past couple of years too. Like it's cool to see you guys grow on stage. And I know I'm always like offside stage. Like as soon as you walk off, I'm like, all right, so here's what I'm which probably isn't helpful.
No, I think it is. I think it is.
But here's my question for you, Adam. If I were to say you are as good at comedy as I am at singing, would you be offended?
No, I feel good about that.
Nice.
I really would.
We were talking about this on the ride here, and we were debating whether or not you were going to get pissed off.
What
I wanted to do is come in and, Adam, you know what? I really like your comedy. I think you're almost as good at comedy as I am at singing. And then I wanted to walk out of the room and just have these guys tell me how you reacted to that.
I wanted Adam's comeback to be, and I didn't even spend $1,000 on singing last week.
I did. By the way, shout out to Dot Todman, my vocal coach, who has stuck with me despite my on and off practicing. That's really what it is. I don't practice.
Can you sing me a C?
I see.
Let's just give it a shot.
Hang on. Let me see.
I have no idea, by the way. I do not have relative pitch.
Oh, you know? Perfect pitch is where you can hit any note.
Yeah, you can sing a note. If someone's like, give me a B, you know?
But then relative would be like, if you give me a C, I can give you a D.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the idea.
Yeah, that's why they have the guys come up with the little tuning things.
Little pitch pipes.
Music, and I'm just learning how to relate music to like what I know about comedy. And it's like a slow, meticulous process. Mm. And consequently, I've had a lot of bombs, as you will.
Well, ditto. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is both of those are some sort of Zen flow thing. And, you know, it's interesting you bring this up because I noticed this several times this weekend on stage where I caught myself leaving the Zen place.
Yeah.
Beginning to concern myself with like even thinking, what if I forget what bit this leads into? And it's like, oh my God, if you let that unravel, you will not be able to continue in any way. It's like the entire thing is messed up. And with music, if you practice and you run a song enough or you think about your bits enough, it seems easier to achieve that Zen and just have fun. So it's like you do the work in advance, and then when you get to the performance, then I feel like you can feel the space and feel the energy in a room and work within that versus that like almost energy sucking activity of trying to recall things that are, you know, in the back of your mind instead of the front of your mind.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where you want to have your comedy and your music so well rehearsed and practiced beforehand that memorizing the notes or knowing where you are musically, that's second nature. And then all you are trying to do is just be in that moment and live in that moment. It's a thing that comes naturally to some, and then to some others, it just takes like a lot of like tearing off layers of like insecurity and stuff to get to where you gotta go. Bill, when you do stand up, you have like a pretty natural thing for it, you know?
Thanks, man.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I feel like a natural grasp towards comedy, generally speaking, you know? So like when you go up there, do you feel yourself kind of falling into that place of, I don't know where this next bit is, or how do you handle that?
Sometimes, it depends on the circumstance. Like, you know, if we're doing a show where I don't have to do merch, I have a little more time to like drink more and no, I have a little more time to just kind of think and stuff. But coming from merch, sometimes I'm like wrapping up a transaction and I run back here, take a quick pee and I'm out there. And sometimes that's a little scary, but it always ends up the same. I mean, it's I think having been a musician before doing this, it helps because I don't really have any stage fright issues or anything like that.
Do you find this, there's a relationship between singing and doing stand-up comedy?
Yeah, there's a lot of common ground there. I mean, just because it's entertainment and performing, you know.
What's more scary to you, Bill? That situation you just described of having to run out on stage with no preparation, or us taking you to a packed bar?
Oh yeah, so I don't like being in crowds. I don't know what we figured out. It was some sort of phobia. We also found out there's a phobia of phobias.
A phobia.
Phobophobia. But I'm a not arachnophobic.
What's the fear of unreasonably small beer cups like we had last night? That was driving
That's
me.
Just being rational.
It was driving me bonkers how small those. So this bar we were at. Shout out to The Joint. It's actually a lovely bar.
Yeah, you just got to order four really at a time, fun. Man. We didn't realize.
I mean, I don't know how many beers I had last night because is that one third of a beer that...
It's a very German thing, I think, like just little beers. And I think the idea is that you do just order like four or five and kind of hand them out to friends or power drink them all. To your face.
Yeah, Bill, you really parked yourself at the bar and you were being very attentive to everyone's drinking needs, but
you were the gatekeeper.
I do get nervous in big crowds. I don't know what it is. I've always been that way. I didn't even like going to crowded bars in college. It's just part of it is like it's always a tiny men's room, and you got to wait to go in there. And then like if you are lucky enough that there's three or four urinals, there's always a bunch of guys in there. There's a line. I do get stage fright in that circumstance.
So you must not like the trough then.
Not a trough guy either.
No.
But, I can loosen up. I ended up having a really good time last night.
I love the trough.
I like the trough.
I like the trough too. It's kind of like, I would imagine in the wild, you know, you have four male turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one female turkey. The female turkey isn't in the bathroom, but we're all displaying our feathers. The trough.
That's a very interesting analogy for a trough, Dante. Potentially problematic if we extrapolate it out, but you know what?
When's the last time you saw a trough for pissing? I mean,
Camp Randall's got one. Yeah. A lot of dive bars still have the troughs.
The Caboose in Minneapolis.
It can either make you feel really good about yourself or you need to go see a doctor.
It is fun to make the jokes, though, urinal jokes, like you unzip and then you go, ooh, water's cold. Or you go, what's the other one? It's like, this is where all the hang out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic.
Nice
That's
watch.
A good one.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Dante and I met at a Packers game at the urinal.
At the urinal.
No, you did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. We were in the same suite.
Uh-huh.
I knew who he was, but I was too scared to talk to him because he was there with friends, Mike Feldman.
Yeah.
This is the origin story.
Here's the origin story
of how me and Dante met.
I went pee. No one else in there. There's the huge line of urinals. I'm peeing. In walks this character. Goes he follows the unwritten rule. He doesn't go next to me.
Okay, that's what I was gonna ask. If he went next to you.
Not right next to me, but one over. But there was clearly 15 open urinals.
So he could have went way away.
He was
looking for a hey.
He was. And he looks over at me midstream and goes, hey, you're in the suite, right?
Yeah. You were seeking a friend.
What happened was I was a little intoxicated and I was at that moment of where like, I know this guy cause I saw him in the suite. So I didn't want to be rude at this point.
Go far away.
Well,
cause that wouldn't be right either. Would it?
Here's the thing. If you go to a urinal and one guy is kind of in a place and you're going several urinals down, like you're hiding something. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I wanted to, didn't want to make Dante uncomfortable, but I also didn't want him to think I was hiding like something.
You want to establish a little bit of dominance.
Yeah.
You should have come up behind him and just like rubbed his shoulders and been like, I've got a job opening at my company. And Dante, needless to say, would not be here.
Yeah, probably not. But Dante and I, we stayed in touch after that game, probably for like a year, right? Because we were chit-chatting. You had a job, or you at that point you were still in college, and then you got a job. And I was trying to figure out my company as I still.
Are we allowed to get up for another beer?
Yeah, Billy, go have a beer. Just take your mic pack with you, pal.
Okay.
So anyways, Dante, well, it's been great having you on board.
Yeah, it's been a ton of fun.
Has it?
It sure has.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun. We better have some fun to balance out the chaos of the deal.
Yeah.
And so that's good. And it's been a pleasure having you on. I'm impressed, Dante, because you came from a business background. Ooh. And, you know, that's initially why I was talking to you on it. Because like business stuff has always been, I'm a space cadet. So, but it's been nice bringing you on because you bring that business expertise, but then also you've just got a good attitude and like all the stuff of like shooting you learned, editing you learned, and you've become really great at it. So
Dante is, if I may be so bold as to praise Dante for a moment, Dante is very organized, very, punctual and mature. You're 26?
I'm 26.
26. I'm 27. And like, I still feel like he's way more mature than me.
Mm-hmm.
37. I'll be 37 tomorrow.
Happy early birthday. Yeah,
happy early birthday, Billy Boy.
And happy birthday to Keith Richards, Christina Aguilera, and Katie Holmes as well tomorrow.
Nice.
Wow. You have the same birthday as Keith Richards?
Yeah. bunch of other people too. It's weird.
I have the same.
I think people were getting busy in March because there's a lot of babies born around December and stuff.
Springtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that first hit of nice air.
But he is extremely essential and does a lot of stuff. And our age difference should be the other way around. He should be looking to me for advice, but sometimes I find myself asking Dante, what do I do in this situation? Mm-hmm. I also would not trust anybody else to drive the vehicle, not even myself.
Well, this is no really lovely, guys. This is a...
Yeah, this is great.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, I got, Billy boys, go on.
My battery is low, but I got to go sell merch.
All right, Billy.
Well, somebody has to pay for all this stuff.
Bill, thank. By the way, Bill, thank you for selling merch at these shows. Really appreciate you.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, handle a lot there.
I'm taking a lot of pictures out there with people and...
Awesome.
Giving away a lot of free stuff and pocketing the cash.
Good luck, right, buddy. Thank you, Billy. Appreciate you.
Bye.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Houthi militants in Yemen saying in a statement that 10 of their fighters were killed during an exchange of gunfire with U.S. forces in the Red Sea. U.S. ships had received a distress call from a commercial ship that was under attack. National Security Council Coordinator for Strategic Communication, John Kirby.
It's one of the most important, most vital commercial waterways in the world. And we have an obligation with our allies and partners to keep the flow of commerce moving there. The Houthis should stop these attacks.
Dozens of Russian drones targeted civilian and military targets in Ukraine overnight, said Ukraine. That's a day after Russia accused Ukraine of a deadly strike on a Russian border city. At least four people died, two others hospitalized after a house explosion near Detroit. Local police say they're still investigating what may have caused the blast. A snowy end to 2023 in Seoul, the South Korean capital, seeing its heaviest snowfall recorded for December in more than 40 years over this weekend. This is ABC News.
Packers battle the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Packers and the Vikings tonight on Sunday Night Football. Both teams trying to keep their wild card playoff hopes alive, but another setback for Green Bay defensive back Eric Stokes. He's been placed on IR after suffering another hamstring injury. Backup safety Benny Sapp has been promoted to the 53-man roster. On this day, New Year's Eve 1967, the Packers beat the Cowboys 21-17 in the Ice Bowl, 13 degrees below zero at Lambeau Field. After the game, quarterback Bart Starr on just how slippery the field was.
We were having real poor footing down there, and we had some couple of good plays we felt in that situation. We couldn't even put it in with those. The backs were sliding when they would start, and really we could run out of ideas. We didn't know what to do.
Starr scoring the winning touchdown on a quarterback sneak, and head coach Vince Lombardi asked about the game-winning drive.
We didn't do anything differently. We added one little play from the sidelines, and that was it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any snow and flurries winding down quickly here. We'll see partly sunny skies near 30 degrees on this New Year's Eve day with north winds. If you have plans tonight, count on cold temperatures, mid-teens, and mostly clear skies. Currently 26 degrees.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils. Tuesdays at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, folks, I'm Charlie Behrens. If you're just tuning in, this is the Cripescast with all of my 11 siblings. All right, that was the first round of the sisters. Now you get to hear from the brothers. Ladies and gents, we've got Andy Behrens, Billy Behrens, John Behrens, and of course, me, Charlie Behrens.
You know, I don't know if we're going to have time for all these apologies, you know.
I can make mine real quick.
All right, John, make yours real quick.
Andy, on a certain way back from a fishing trip, I apologize for losing my temper over the humble suggestion that I should fix my car and make the phone call while you were there to hear it, because you wouldn't believe it would be done otherwise.
I think we need to dig into this one a little bit.
This was World War III. John and Andy.
First of all, many of these apologies are from years and years ago.
This like, one like apology 20
years
is
ago.
From,
this apology is from last year.
Two years ago. A year and a year ago. Feels like it might be a little fresh for both
John
of you.
John and Andy were driving back from up north. Andy asked John for a ride home. John, can I get a ride home? John is doing Andy a favor. Andy cannot help himself in the front seat an hour in. John, why is your mirror broken? John, why is your back window broken? And Andy just keeps digging and digging and digging. And eventually, what happens?
This was from a place of concern.
A place of concern.
I think we provided all the context we need.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, like, I just didn't want it to get broken further is the issue. Mm. And it was like, it was hanging on for dear life. John's, the back of John's car, like the rear view window.
Somebody broke it on the trip. That was the issue.
No, I don't think that was the issue.
Dad tried lifting the gate hinge and it crumbled.
I think it was correct me if I'm wrong, but it was a hasty repair that then came undone at that point. So it was broken prior to the trip.
It was a Ford, you know?
Yeah.
You know what they say? Fix it again, Tony.
Yeah. So I suggested that John should
That's
get
a
it
Fiat.
Fixed. Maybe.
I don't speak Russian. I'm sorry.
Maybe one too many times, but I did suggest it that he should.
So who's apologizing to who?
It
here?
Was a tense car ride. Yeah. What do you? I'm sorry. I feel like I'm apologizing again. Well, I'm here to receive your apology for this.
Andy, I gave you my apology when I threw that screwdriver at you and missed.
Okay.
I'm sorry for missing.
All right, Andy. John is sorry for missing. Very good, John. Where's my apology?
Can we do a separate true crime podcast about that car ride?
Yeah, we should, honestly. Right. We really should.
Because no, there's a lot of material
the
there.
The amount of phone calls that were received at the next day fishing, Dad was in a boat 20 foot away from me and my boy. He goes, what the f- is wrong with your brothers?
You can hear him clear across the lake.
Yeah, just airing out the grievances. As
this is the
John
first time I got yelled at by Charlie and Dad in the same phone call.
Charlie, my apology to you. During a certain trip to Baltimore,
yeah,
I agreed to do merchandising for you.
Yeah,
and
you
I thought getting to the airport a half hour ahead of time was enough time to check in my bags.
Yeah. Well, John, you know, I didn't realize this was your first time ever getting on a flight in your life.
Second time.
My bad.
John, what about the time that you were supposed to pick him up at the airport where it was?
Oh, yeah. I pay extra money to fly in to get in early so we can do a shoot. And I say, John, I'm at O'Hare. Okay.
You asked me this at 6 a.m.
Whatever. It was the day. It doesn't matter. You said, oh, yeah, I'll get you at O'Hare. And then I get to O'Hare and I'm waiting 20, 30 minutes. I'm on the phone with Max, and Max goes midway through the phone call. Hey, have you talked to John? And I go, no, I got to call him. I don't know where he is. I'll call you back. And then Max hangs up the phone. What happened during that phone call? Well, you know what? Forget it. I'll just say what happened next. I called John and I go, John, where are you? He goes, Charlie, don't be mad. I was like, John, I'm not going to be mad. Did you go to the wrong airport? He's like, yes, I did. I was like, that's fine. There's enough time. Midway is a ways away from O'Hare, but you'll make it. Just put it in your GPS, get to O'Hare. He goes, okay, it's going to be about an hour and a half. I was like, where are you? Mitchell, Milwaukee? Yeah. What the? And I lost every I ever
you
had.
Got mad. I told you not to get mad.
Yeah, you did tell me not to get mad.
Seeing this all unfold and watching all the phone calls come in for that was the funniest thing I've ever, like, I was like, you should probably go get Charlie, right? And you're like, yeah, I reminded you, because I was like, wait, like, where are you picking Charlie up? You left. Dante's like, oh, he's for sure at O'Hare. Like, we all were like, oh shit,
why didn't anyone tell me?
No, we said you should be going, and then you said he's at Mitchell. Do you but apology accepted?
We're playing rock, paper, scissors right now. What's going on?
This is a consolatory fist bump.
All right, John, I accept your apology. John, I apologize for blowing up on you after that and making you
pay half the pay for the Uber, right?
Pay for the yeah. I told John that he had to pay for my Uber, and then he started freaking out. He was like, that. I do. He was getting so pissed. I was like, fine, you start driving to me, and then when you get to where I am, I'll have the Uber pull over, but you're paying for everything that the Uber tracks. I thought that was fair. All right, Billy, your apologies. Thank you, John. I appreciate the apology.
Well, I haven't done a lot of bad stuff, so I don't have too many apologies. Andy, I think we've been cool. I don't think I owe you any apologies. I only had an hour to think of something.
Yeah,
I think we're good.
20 minutes.
Can you think of anything
that you need to apologize to?
Yeah,
me
I'd
for?
Love to hear it.
I've got multiple nail marks on my body from you scratching.
Oh no, that's all. Right. The wrist med. Oh yeah. 2000.
Oh boy.
2001. This was close to. Yeah, it's 2000. It's 2001.
In front of the Lauer girls.
Yeah.
You scratched.
Just Bill.
It wasn't
Bill,
like,
got mad.
You know. But I definitely went for it.
Bill just turned into a tornado of teeth and nails.
Okay, there were no teeth involved.
You beat up Andy in front of the Lauer girls?
I wouldn't say it was beating up. It was not
your best moment.
Not my best moment.
Not a good fighter.
Here's the thing. I went for the Australia strategy, where you take Australia, you build up all your troops in New Zealand, and then you go from there.
Yeah.
Weak strategy.
It's never worked out.
Africa is better.
I thought, hey, one last time, I'll try for it.
I think we made the Lauer girls play risk. We're on like turn 67 of this game.
That's what we really ought to be apologizing for.
Bill's committed to the Australia strategy.
It didn't work. It didn't work in real history. It's not working out on risk. And I built it up. Andy managed to take Asia, which, you know, in retrospect was kind of impressive.
I think the incident that caused the fight was dice were dropped on the board and scrambled up the little men. And we were trying to decide which one went where.
And you tried to allocate my troops to Western Australia. They clearly belonged in New Zealand.
Cheating was
nobody puts
by
that
one
many
party.
Troops in Western Australia. And things got unpleasantly and violent, not in a dignified way. And that's how I'll phrase it. And for that, I'm sorry.
It was not befitting of the game.
You cheated.
Played by gentlemen in front of a map of the world. Anyways, there's still scratches on my back.
Nah, you're
from
fine.
You and on my forehead.
No.
Yeah.
Billy, old Billy Longnails.
Bill, yeah.
Well, apology accepted.
Bill was like Hellcat Maggie from Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
That was how he fought with people. Bill memorably said outright, my strategy is not to win the fight, it's to make it not worth it for you to fight me.
It's an effective strategy when you have two older brothers.
It's very valid. It's
yeah, true. It is.
John knows where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Not my friends, it's a minority.
Yeah. Throw the elbows.
No one wants to go try and kill the rabid raccoon. No. Not worth it.
No.
Okay. Let's get to some stuff here. All right. John, what was it like?
No, you didn't apologize.
What?
You did not apologize.
Oh, that's what I was going
to
say.
He gave an apology to me.
I thought it was nice that you got apologized two, three times.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you like how that works?
I like that we're recording your therapy.
I got some apologies. Okay, let's see here. Andy, do you remember the time that we were driving to school and we were going from one parking lot to another parking lot and there was a 3-foot dip between the parking lots?
Yeah.
And
I reenacted Blues Brothers.
Yeah, and you literally drove over that.
Yeah.
I told you that you were the dumbest person I've ever met in my life. And a bunch of other things that I still to this day can't repeat on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
And despite all those things being true, I do apologize.
Oh, thanks, Charlie.
Yeah. Bill, I do have some apologies for you. I apologize for giving you the name Bildo. Just because it rhymed with another word it's not appropriate. And
yeah,
I'm sorry that I taught your son how to say it too.
I really appreciate you apologizing for that in front of a national audience.
Yeah.
And
regional. You know, mostly regional.
I bet there's
national.
One guy in Alaska.
Oh, okay. You gonna apologize to me for that too?
No,
yeah, I've at least three people in Alaska.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bi-coastal.
Yeah. And also sorry for, breaking your leg.
Don't remember how you were involved in that. It feels like you're riding Andy's coattails.
Stolen valor.
All right. So apologies on that. And John, I'm sorry for when you were a kid teaching you how to headbutt. I think it gave you brain damage.
It sure did.
There it is, folks. Me and my brothers. Let's get back to the podcast. My conversation with Addie Behrens, Emily Behrens, Nora Behrens, Ellie Behrens. Did I say all of them?
Yeah.
I did?
Yep.
All right. And of course, I'll be there too. Here you go. We have 8 sisters in the Behrens family. We had the 4 on earlier, and now we have the next 4 on. So just to recap, everybody.
Why did you go with the first 4 as the first 4?
That's a Colleen question, actually.
Because those 4 were the first ones to respond to Colleen.
All right, let's take it from the top here. All right, so a few questions. This is a mom or dad thing. So these are the little things you got. This is the game that we're playing. Who's the most likely to help you on your homework, mom or dad?
Oh, it depends.
It depends on which one.
What's the subject?
Oh, yeah, dad for math, mom for English.
Mom will mark up the margins of your paper.
If you want dad to say, all right, what is this plus this equal? All right, now divide by 50. What's the answer? That's not the answer. What is, okay. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is why you need to do your homework. That's how dad kind
of
does it.
Yeah, speaking of homework, he
would just kind of be like, what is 15% of 382? And then he'd be like, it's easy. This is how you do it. And then you have to follow along and pretend. And then
he still does that.
Yeah.
He did to me the other day.
Yeah.
When we were gambling for the sports or something for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. What math did you? It was a $2 buy-in.
Actually, it wasn't that. It was something else. It was.
So you lied.
Oh, no. It was when I was scuba diving.
Oh, and you tried to explain what the bends was to the anesthesiologist sitting at the table.
Right. Yeah. Someone described it as Jesse Pinkman trying to describe how to make meth to Walter White.
That was funny.
Yeah. Dad, when you're bad at math, dad doesn't take too good to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Stoichiometry was a beast with
God,
dad.
That word just
Emily
gave me
also did
shivers.
Not do her homework from the ages of negative two till now.
from like the third grade to probably 10th grade, 12th grade, I didn't do homework very regularly
at all,
which drove a little bit of a wedge between me and Dad. We spent a lot of time gathering assignments and doing them at 11 p.m.
Wow. 11 p.m., the kitchen table.
To be fair, I still graduated college and everything, and I have a job. We're all good. Honestly,
were you not a good student?
I was a terrible student.
Emily was like the worst.
Certifiably the terrible.
Most likely to give love life advice, mom or dad.
Love
life advice? I don't know. Love life advice. Most likely to give you love life advice.
Oh, a mixed bag. A mixed bag.
Well, I don't know. Honestly, it's different times. Yeah, I'm not a good example on this one. I'm not the best example.
I'm doing long distance with my boyfriend, and my dad was like, well, how often do you guys talk? And I was like, oh, every day. Like, we talk like pretty constantly. Like, and he goes, that's when I knew I was going to marry your mom. And I was like, okay, good to know. Yeah, and that's the only thing. They also call him my special friend. So those are the two levels.
Conrad was my friend until he's very still recently.
They don't call him your boyfriend?
Dickie.
Not yet.
Tall Potter. Is he really your boyfriend?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Charlie also calls him just a friend.
No, I just know him as a tall Harry Potter. I don't know what you kids are doing, if you're like official or whatnot. I don't know.
Charlie, his name?
What's that?
What's his name?
Tall Potter is his name. Oh my God. I know his name.
Charlie.
He's been in the family for like a year.
Charlie.
I knew you were going to add.
Nobody answer this one for him. I want to see one.
All right.
His vein is popping out. That means he's in really big.
Oh my God.
I know. Nora and
like throw out any name. See what sticks.
We've been dating for over a year.
I got no idea. I just called him Tall Potter.
All right.
Is it Harry? Hang on, I'll get it. Is it like Jeff or Dan or something?
It's one syllable.
One syllable? Sounds like one of our brother's names.
No, that's confusing.
It kind of rhymes with Ron.
Don.
It's
John.
It's Irish.
John. It's
like, wrong.
Oh, it's no, what? It's Irish. It. It's yeah. I got no idea.
Charlie, you basically said it.
What?
Sean.
Sean. Would have never guessed. Honestly. Would have never guessed.
All right.
I don't think you've ever introduced us.
I did.
He's been over
the
many
very,
times.
Very, very first time.
I do know Sean's name. Now that you say that, I do. All right. Most likely to skip Sunday Mass. Dad. Okay. Most likely to tear up the dance floor. Dad. Who's a better singer?
Mom has a really good voice.
What is so funny?
Mom does these cute little lullabies because everyone's like, oh, they don't have good voices. I was listening to the other podcast. They were so mean about it. Mom has a really good lullaby voice and Dad has a cute little like kind of jingle along, kind of like a just kind of hum along kind of good voice. So it depends.
They have different songs that they favor. So like Mom will sing
I love.
Yeah, I think Mom. Yeah.
It's right. It's got, it can't just be any song.
I got ham, I got turkey, I got caviar.
No, but Dad babbles in the Billy Joel era, like that kind
babbles?
Of
babbles.
Dabbles. Dabbles. You know.
I'm thinking more like a.
All right, so it's a toss up. It's a toss up. Who are you more scared to tell bad news to?
Hmm.
Depends what it is.
Oh, like, nowadays
Nowadays, probably mom.
That's true.
Historically speaking, dad for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. On those days that I didn't do my homework and my teachers talked to my parents, I'd be walking down the road on the way home from school. We walked to school. And I would see if my dad's car was in the driveway or not.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I knew if I had to, you know, mentally prepare for whatever conversation I was going into.
Or when, like, dad would go to conference night.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you never want dad to go to conferences.
The most we could hope for was that he'd be on a call on conference night.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to try and get them to sign stuff that was not really good. And you did that by stacking it in the middle. You put the bad grades in the middle, obviously. Sometimes if it was really bad grade, you put a smiley face sticker over it. And then they didn't realize that was a bad grade because you put a smiley face sticker over the D and they would sign it.
Right. All the red ink
so
wasn't an indicator.
So did you come clean about that one?
I don't know how they figured it out. I think I did come clean at one point, you know, but then they also found at one point in the basement, they found a piece of paper where I was practicing mom and dad's signatures.
Yeah.
And that was a dead giveaway that I
was. Isn't that all page 37 in all of our notebooks?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Didn't we all do that?
Well, it's a very easy signature.
I would tell mom I was going on a field trip and she was like, how'd you get your permission for that? And I said, I signed it for you. And she was like, Nora,
oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, but you, then that
you
was as
learned
sad
forgery
as she
that young.
I did too. I got yelled at for forging signatures, and I had to go to Google and look up what does forgery mean.
I was
very young.
Yeah.
I knew Sean. I knew the name.
I know. I know.
I couldn't
worry.
Think of it. I you couldn't think it. Of it. I was under pressure.
Okay, wow. So the last one you did this the last podcast is you gave advice to each person with all of them in different stages of life.
Oh, yeah. All right. Soon to be mother. What do I know about that? You know, time flies, you know, and well, you know that you're 30 already. So, you know. Addie, I don't know. Just enjoy every moment with the little bundle of joy.
That's the same advice you gave to Betsy.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, then it fits. Why would I want to give Betsy more advice than I gave you? I feel like that's pretty even, you know? Okay, I'll say this. I'll say this. all right. They're going to lie to you a lot and tell you a bunch of BS. And then at some point in their life, you got to catch them. And then they're still going to lie to you. Just let them get away with it.
Well, this took a very different spin than Betsy's now.
What was Betsy's?
Like, enjoy every moment. Yeah, it's like, not going to last
forever.
Gonna
go so fast.
I've said that and you rejected
it.
And mine
is like, the little is going to lie to you.
You pulled out bad advice. I was giving you good advice. Enjoy the moment. Because I'm thinking about, like, what I said with Ellie when I was 19. I feel like it was just yesterday. Now I'm like, whatever, 35. So that's a
you're
long
35.
Yeah. And you're 30s. Okay.
Whoa, but you're
halfway to 70.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Holy cow.
Okay.
Whoa. Isn't that crazy?
No, but you guys, what I'm
you
telling
could be
you
my dad.
Do you get grays?
How's your periodontitis?
Do you tweeze out your grays?
No, I don't tweeze out my grays. I don't have grays. I'm just that relaxed.
No, you definitely have some.
Where?
Do you know who doesn't
have
grays?
Probably look with
Dad does not have grays.
Dad has grays.
No,
Dad now has like what? Like two strips of gray.
Have you seen my dad?
Yeah. He does have a lot of black hair still.
Yeah.
So that's good. Anyway, Addie, live in the moment. Enjoy it. Yeah. Here today, gone tomorrow. Nora, always... Always remember the names of people you meet, okay? Because, no, Nora, okay, so you're going into dentist school. I think really just follow...
He's in dentist school.
You're in dentist school, but really follow your passion, I think. You know, like, if you actually want to do something, but someone's like, oh, it's not going to make as much money or this or that, I would just do it, you know? And if... I don't know what you want to go
she's
into.
She's going to make a lot of money. She's going to be a dentist. So that's a bad example.
Do all dentists make a lot of money?
It depends.
Well, I don't know.
Nora, what's your anticipated salary?
I have no idea. It's $100,000
I'm just kidding.
In debt.
Okay. In debt.
Yeah, so that's fun. Anyway.
Charlie, what's your advice about debt?
Debt?
Yeah.
What's your advice for long distance? Relationship.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're in a long distance relationship?
Yes.
You should get to, oh, God.
With who,
a long
again?
Distance relationship? You really want my advice?
I don't think so.
No. Hey, do you like him? Is he nice to you?
He's a good guy.
from Birchwood to Poplar. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The U.S. military saying